lead up to Paris, I started to feel a little bit where it started to feel like a job too much, like a you know, something really quite monotonous. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Weekly Freestyle. This is episode 51, would you believe it? A year and a half after our 50th episode, which is quite exciting. We're here at one of our newest pools that is looking absolutely lovely. Thank you very much in part to this man right here. This is episode one of season six of the Weekly Freestyle. I could not be happier to be back here. Start 2025. Alex, great to see you after a year and a half of not recording. It's quite exciting.
Yes, lovely to see you again, Tom. And yeah, as you mentioned, thanks to our producer, Ryan, and business development manager, Johnny Walker, for getting this sorted. If the air feels cleaning here.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't
it? I like it. This is a 2025 feeling to it, hasn't it?
It's very, very nice. We're on the beach chairs. We're at this lovely site. I mean, do you want to tell the people a little bit about where we are right now?
Yeah, so this is related to Tom Dean Swim Schools, which I'm sure we will go into a lot more. If you did catch our Christmas episode that went out on Christmas Day, you would have heard a little bit about that. If you didn't, go and find that. We didn't give it loads of coverage because I thought we could maybe sneak it in there for those who are maybe got their ear to the ground, as it were. So go and have a look at that. But this is, yeah, Tom Dean Swim School launching very soon. So this is actually a little bit of an exclusive, but once this episode goes out, Newlands will have already launched as one of the founding sites.
It will have. So Newlands, as in the pool we're at right now, will be one of the founding sites of the Tom Dean Swim School. We thought, where better to record our first episode? I'm excited about the relaunch.
I'm excited.
If people remember correctly, go and watch our 50th episode. We rounded off. It was right after I'd raced at the World Champs. It was the start of August 2023. We did a bit of a challenge. We played some games. We both ended up eating Carolina Reaper peppers and suffering.
How did that happen?
And suffering that
How
night.
Did that happen?
Well, we played a game where one of us was going to lose and eat it, and then we both ended up eating it. But you know what? We'll do anything for the content. So it's great to be back. I think we're going to do a little bit of a review. Look forward to 2025. We're under the greenhouse. You can hear the rain probably smattering down because it's a bit snowy, a bit sleety right now. Start of January, like we said. But I'm excited to get into it.
For sure. And just to be clear, this is the Weekly Freestyle. The Weekly Freestyle continues. We're going to roll on. We're going to have lots of fun. So we left you a little bit for Tom Dean Medal Machine, but I think there was still some similar content in there, but going back to kind of our roots.
And we did some great stuff with TDMM. We were out in Paris. We had some great interviews. I mean, some of the guests we got on were incredible. You know, we sat down with some of the sports and entertainment stars of the UK, which was exciting. But no, it's good to be back. Back in Maidenhead, back recording the Weekly Freestyle. So what have we got in store today?
So as always, we're going through our normal segments within the podcast. We've got our catch up, our dive in, our topic of the week, and then we always finish with the Weekly Freestyle. So that's kind of a catch up and discuss anything. So I've got a good topic, so hold on for that. But to start, you were in Scotland over New Year, weren't you?
I was. I saw in the New Year in Glasgow with our friend Kai, who's just moved up there. They love a New Year's up there. Hogmanay, I don't know if you've ever experienced
it. Yeah, I've not experienced it. I've seen. It's pretty serious though.
It's full
but on. I was worried about you because weather conditions as they are today were pretty violent.
So Edinburgh Hogmanay got cancelled actually, but Glasgow Hogmanay, I think they're just a tougher breed in Glasgow. I hope I don't upset any of our Scottish listeners by saying that, but they love it. They absolutely love it. So we were there, we went to this kind of place called Ashton Lane or Ashton Place on the west side of Glasgow.
Busy.
But we had some good friends up there and you had quite an exciting New Year's, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd say equally exciting.
Was it Trivial Pursuit or was it Scrabble? I forget.
You're wrong. I actually made a music quiz for the year, 2024.
Okay.
Maybe I'll have to drop that on the podcast.
Yeah, you should.
Some point.
A bit of extra content.
It was interesting though, seeing the difference between the UK chart and the global chart. There were some really interesting differences there.
Yeah.
Bruno Mars is a lot bigger globally than he is
in
the
UK.
Yeah, but you're back now. That's great. As you say, we're heading into the new year. Got any New Year's resolutions?
Well, we were watching the Liverpool United game about 20 minutes ago.
We were
indeed.
And
we were chatting a little bit about resolutions, and I've kind of got three things.
Three big ones.
Three big ones that I'm going to be throwing all my time and effort into because I've had my 5 months of enjoying myself post-Olympics and been able to, you know, stay up slightly later and, you know, have an extra dessert and all that fun stuff that I've not been able to do. But now it's three main things taking my focus, and I was telling you just earlier, number one, get back into training.
Okay.
I'm getting back in. I start training in 3 days, and the fitness and all that stuff is getting thrown right back into focus. I'm building up towards LA 2028. You know, obviously, for the pod, it's all about content for the pod. Important. And we will be tracking that journey. But get back in the pool.
Yeah.
Start getting fit again. You know, obviously the pod running alongside that. Throw myself into the swim school. Mm-hmm. Start opening more incredible sites like this and getting them looking as great as this place is, and getting as many kids in the swim schools and water safe and learning swim as possible as you can. And number three, get that golf handicap down a little bit.
Get it low.
Because we played the other day and I wasn't quite up to scratch.
Yeah.
I think I need to start grafting that. So they're my three things. Mm-hmm. No more late nights, none of that stuff. I've had my months of doing that. They're my three New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, and I think we'd all want to know, how fit are you right now? Who would beat you in the pool?
Well, it's a good question. We were chatting to one of our colleagues just a moment earlier, and I've already been challenged to a race in this pool behind me.
Right now.
But unfortunately, I've not got my swimmies with me. So as much as I'd love to, unfortunately, I'm not. We did a park run about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And that's all the cardio I've done since Paris Olympics.
That's
so
it.
It's going to be a tough one getting back into it in a few days' time, but I'm feeling confident. Mm-hmm. I think maybe a few of those times we hopped in the pool and splashed around a little bit will probably come in handy.
Oh,
but
pay off.
I think there are a lot of people out there, a lot of our listeners would be beating me in a swimming race right now. So I need to get back in. I need to start getting fit again.
But it's all the more reason for listeners and people involved in swimming to get in the pool.
Get involved.
If you've had maybe a couple of months off, now's a great time.
What about yourself? New Year's resolutions?
Just the one. It's just the podcast for me, really.
There we go.
Just
that's
the podcast.
All you need. That's
the
a
weekly
true
freestyle
podcast.
So, yeah, that's all I want to do. But, yeah, and one thing as well, I think a second resolution would be maybe to sample a few of Maidenhead's new coffee offerings.
Wow.
Because it's a bit of a lively scene at the moment. There's actually a new player. So yeah. I just wanted to keep an eye on that. And if you've just ask you if you've got any thoughts on what's currently going on.
My loyalties, of course, lie with Baked Coffee Shop in Maidenhead. Mm-hmm. Those of you who haven't popped by, do swing by. A lot of our meetings, a lot of our business meetings take place there. But like you said, Maidenhead's on the up.
And pleasure meetings.
Yep, that too, if you want. A lot of our meetings take place
just,
there.
Just general
but
meetings.
The scene's on the up. Maidenhead's on the up.
Yeah.
Presto's opening up a new site. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. That area of town, that neck of the woods is getting pretty exciting right now. So for all, you know, I don't want to sound too much like the Maidenhead Tourist Board, but do swing by. And I'm sure there's plenty more flat whites we want to be trying on our, but you know, that's where we want to do, you know, we want to travel and take the pod global. We've already taken the pod to other countries. We want to keep taking it all around different places around the UK, following, especially where, you know, Tom Dean Swim School expands to. We've got a few sites we're looking at already in the north. So I'm sure another away day's on the cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an exciting time to be a Maidenhead resident right now.
We'll just have to hope that our producer is up for the,
the journey.
I'm sure we
just
can make
committed
it
as we are. The Weekly Freestyle.
Brought to you by Get In Focus Media. Let's dive in. So usually this would focus on swimming news of the week to keep our keen swimmers sort of in the loop with what's going on. But I guess there haven't been too many races going on in the past week. Most swimmers have probably been chilling around the Christmas dinner table with their feet up. But I think your news of you getting back into the pool is probably a good place for us to start.
Mm.
So you're back to Bath quite soon.
Yeah.
And that's the plan.
I'm back in.
And that's big news.
Off. It's pretty big news. So to put it in perspective, since I was 7 years old and I joined Maidenhead Marlin Swimming Club, the longest time period I've had out of the water, it's been 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so about 20 days, just under
that
20 days.
That is crazy.
It's the longest time I've ever had out the water. And right now I was thinking about it the other day, 22 weeks. So 5.5 months I've been had out the water.
How many days is that?
Too many to even count. A lot. What's that, about 164?
160 days.
Something like that. It's a lot of days. So yeah, it's going to be a big shock to the system, mm-hmm. I think. But obviously I'll be going back and joining my coach, Dave McNulty, down at the Bath
MBE.
Training Centre. MBE. Honorary doctorate, Dr. David McNulty, since we last recorded an episode, which is exciting. So very, very well deserved. I'll be back down in Bath. This period now is just about building fitness, getting fitter, getting the feel back for the water. Look, we've got a World Championships in July, and you know, hopefully I'll be there representing Team GB, of course. We've got Glasgow Commonwealth Games in 2026, where I really want to be smashing out. World Champs 27, and then Olympics 2028, and I want to be there winning medals. So that's the way I'm seeing it now is that's my real focus, mm-hmm. and I'm just working back from there. That's the thing that really gets me up and gets me excited, gets me out in bed in the morning. So this is day one of a 3.5 year journey. Well, not today. Next Wednesday will be day one.
Yeah.
Of a 3.5. So tonight I can actually have, I mean, we had a packet of crisps earlier, which was quite nice. So I can relax and chill out a little bit. Day one of a 3.5 year journey towards LA 2028.
Yeah, but we have discussed it a lot before, and actually it is important that you have time out of the pool as well.
Yeah.
Because I think not maybe you have or you haven't made this mistake in the past, but certainly other swimmers could come off the back of a major champs and then they're straight back in looking at the next thing. But actually that could have negative implications down months ahead, but also years ahead, because you need to have that drive. Doing an Olympic cycle isn't easy.
Yeah, I think that's what people don't really understand. And I was speaking to someone about it the other day. So swimmers often retire quite early, late 20s. That's not from physical burnout, because look at other sports. I was reading Chris Hoy's book and he's like 37, still winning Olympic gold medals. You know, it's a race that's a minute or a few minutes long, similar to swimming. It's not too dissimilar, and he's going on to his late 30s. Swimmers don't get mental burnout. They get physical burnout because of what you're asked to do day in, day out. You're asked to do 10, 15,000 meters in that pool, 10 miles of swimming every single day from the age of 7 years old, 4 hours a day in the pool. It's such, often it's a real old school mentality of just grafting, more meters will be better results, and that's not how it works. So it's the mental burnout that swimmers do get and they do suffer from, and I've seen it firsthand. And even, I know we're going to talk about Paris a little bit, probably in the next episode, but even in the lead up to Paris, I started to feel a little bit where it started to feel like a job too much, like a something really quite monotonous and something that I almost wasn't enjoying as I have done in the past. And that's why I knew, right, I'll go to Paris, I'll hopefully enjoy it and really hopefully do well.
Yeah.
And then I need that long break, because I will have been at Bath training three times a day every day for 6 years. And before that, it was 10 years at Maidenhead. So it's a long time without a break, you know. And I often tell people that when you join the National Centre at 18, you're forced to grow up quite quickly. You have to be an adult very, very quickly, because you have to take responsibilities over your training, your nutrition, you're living away from home, you can't be going out, you're a senior swimmer, so you're in the same category as 21, 25, 28 year olds.
Yeah, and you could be getting paid to swim for the first time in your life.
You're getting paid to swim, of course. So whereas people, when they join university at 18, they use that to kind of find themselves and mess around a little bit and go out and have a good time. It's like you turn 18, you're an adult, you're a senior athlete now. You have to start acting like a senior athlete. And I think when you miss out on that chance to just not put yourself under so much pressure and not hold yourself to that high standard, you need a bit of time to mentally really relax. And that's what the last 5 months have been.
Yeah, it's probably quite a fine line as well, because if you mention swimmers and kind of when they may be in their peak performance, a lot of swimmers might be at that peak performance earlier in their 20s than later.
Yeah.
So if you get to a national centre, you might actually panic a little bit and go, this is my time right now. And actually, if you just give yourself a moment to relax into it. I remember when you went to Bath, I think I messaged you and you said, oh, how's it going? And you said, well, my coach hasn't messaged me yet. As in that first few weeks, I think you even going into a national centre, you eased your way in, which is probably the right way to do it.
Yeah, but I was also really conscious. I finished Tokyo, I was 21. And I was like, right, between Tokyo and Paris, 21, 22, 23, 24, they're the years where you just want to be fully, fully focused on every competition, every Europeans, World Championships, Commonwealth Games. You want to try and get as many medals as you can, because they're the years to add to your swimming CV. And then you take a break and start to build things like outside of your life, build a business, build things I'm really passionate about, like the swim schools, with a focus on Olympics being the real, real big driver. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and just to go back, you mentioned maybe in the lead up to Paris, things were getting a little bit tricky or slightly different to how they had been before.
Yeah.
How did that kind of manifest itself in terms of when you were waking up, were you waking up thinking, oh, this is going to be a tough day, it's going to be a tough few weeks ahead? Or was it in the water, or was it completely away from that?
I think it was a lot of different things. I think I had a really good season the year before. So at the World Champs in 2023, you know, I was the only person from Team GB to win two individual medals. Fastest split in the world on the relay, 2 years on the trot. You know, I won medal on 2-3, medal on 2M. I felt I did some of my best times since winning the Olympics. I felt like I couldn't really put a foot wrong.
Yeah.
Some of the best training I'd ever done. I was like on a real high. And then I tried to replicate that identically the year after, and it just never really works like that.
Yeah.
For various different reasons. Things happening outside of my control. Things happening in my life. Family issues. Injury. Illness. Even things like the training centre, the group I was part of. Bath didn't have a good Olympic trial, so not many people qualified. And when people don't qualify for an Olympics, they just lose their drive and motivation.
And this is in April.
This is in April. So between April, May, June, July, August, 5 months, I didn't really have anyone to train.
People are effectively clocking off.
They leave. They just go home, because why would you keep training? So I had this real tough year, and I missed out, obviously, qualification on the 200 free, the event I wanted to defend the Olympic title on. You know, even now, I don't think I'm fully over that, because I always thought and believed I was able to do it. So it's tough. It's a tough kind of pill to swallow, because it's such a competitive event within this country, and you know, you fall 0.2 of a second the wrong side of qualification, and it doesn't matter about any other results, you get stung by it, and people don't take into account what's happened in the lead up to it. So those last few months leading into Paris were tough, and I knew what we could do on the relay. I knew we could win it. You know, I knew I wanted to get good results on the 200m individually, and you know, do the relay, we win it, and then I've got 2 days for my race, and then you get COVID, and it's just like, it kind of felt like one thing after another a little bit. So I'd be lying if I said it was the smoothest sailing season of my life.
Yeah. Look,
to defend the Olympic title and be Olympic champion again and be the first, you know, quartet to ever do that with the same team was incredible. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want more from that Olympics. And after the World Champs the year before, I believed I could. So it's tough. And that takes a lot out of you mentally. And it takes a real, like, emotional toll on you as much as anything else. So it's taken me those 5 or 6 months since then to actually want to get back in the pool, because honestly, when I finished Paris, I was like, I don't even want to see another swimming pool, even a beautiful, spotless, clean, well kept pool like this. I didn't even want to look at one. So it took a bit of time, and I'm glad I took that break, because now I'm actually pretty hungry to get back into it.
Yeah, and I can only imagine how tough it is for you mentally, because it was tough enough for people sort of following your journey, being out in Paris, sort of socializing after your races, you know. It was tough for all of us.
Tough for all of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I remember you walked in. I can't remember if it was the end, your last race, but you came in, and you know when someone's ill at work, or your friend, you're like, you can feel it, and it's like,
I was riddled, mate.
You're ill at the Olympics.
I was on every kind of paracetamol, nose spray, you know, vitamin C tablet you could possibly be on, just anything.
Trying everything, bit of honey, bit of manuka, even the expensive stuff.
Yeah, those chamomile teas with a bit of honey in there, just trying everything.
That's it. But we don't want to give it all away right now. You've given a real deep dive there, which, thank you very much for that. But there's plenty of stuff that we'll continue to talk about. And I think the lead up to Paris itself, as you mentioned, I think that'll be a good thing for us to do next week in our next episode. I think what would be quite a fun game for us at some point would be to rate your seasons that you've ever had from the time at Marlins, but we can push that further down the line.
Okay, so I was about to do that. Yeah, that's a good game though.
It's a great game.
Because different ones are special for different reasons.
Yeah. I mean, if you win counties and you win the Olympics.
Yeah.
But if counties means more.
Very true. Like when Maiden and Marlins got promoted from the Arena League.
Yeah. I missed that evening, actually, unfortunately.
Did you? You're not there for that?
No.
That was a big day.
Probably had revision to do or something. There's
board games to play.
There's plenty more to dive into there. And now I think, is this a relaunch? That's what I want to know. Is this a relaunch?
I don't know. We've had a bit of a sabbatical.
Yeah.
A little bit of sabbatical. A lot's changed since then, both in our professional lives, in our personal lives.
Bakes remain the same though.
But there are a few coffees and constants. The flat whites are always flowing. The J2Os will always be there. You know, there's a few things that have remained that we've remained true to.
And badges. Have you got the gift I gave you on our Christmas special?
It's in my car.
Okay.
I now keep it in my car at all times.
Okay.
The badger. Yeah. No, I do keep them close all the time. And of course, all the people who have supported along the way, our great deal of gratitude towards them remains unwavering. But you know, I'm excited.
And do you actually want to do this podcast? Because we're actually here on a Sunday night.
Who would have thought?
And it's going 7:30.
And I've got, you know, Mum's got dinner in the oven.
Soonish.
In about 11 minutes, and she's going to be calling us for it. But no, absolutely. I think we're both at a point where we've got some exciting, we've definitely got an exciting 2025 ahead of us.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think we've got an exciting few years. And I just have a feeling that from that first episode that we recorded back in the Weekly Freestyle HQ, from those ones in summer of 2022 when I was at the Commonwealth Games, that was 2.5 years ago now.
Yeah.
3.5 years and I'll be in LA at the next Olympic Games. I'll be 28, you'll be 29. You know, you'll probably have 2 kids by that
point. At least.
Big SUV that you'll be driving around. But yeah, I think there's a lot of exciting stuff in the works, and I want the podcast to be following both of us and our lives on that journey.
Yeah, because I asked a few listeners as well, and obviously listener interaction and guests is something that I think is both really important to both of us.
I think listening
engaging with listeners is key to kind of driving the content that people actually want to hear.
Absolutely.
Because it's all well and good us sitting here talking about stuff, but if it's not what people want to hear, and if it's not what people want to listen to during their weeks, then kind of what's the point?
Of course.
So I think, there are lots of other interesting things that have gone on in your life, especially recently, that we can touch on. whether that be in the pool and away from the pool. Got a few messages here. People want to know about Sports Personality of the Year. Mm. Obviously, a Strictly review, possibly at some point.
I think we do an episode on that.
Oh, I think we have to.
It won't be a long episode, won't it, for that long.
Are we allowed to say the S word?
Oh, my God.
Or do we get...
We might have to bleep that one out. Well, my TV appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah, my TV appearance. I mean, I was on it.
I mean, you're always on the TV. I've seen you on an advert for A League of Their Own.
Yes, that was good fun.
Which is coming out this year.
Yeah, yeah,
this
that was
month,
good fun.
Actually.
That was a lot of laughs. We can do an episode on that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the guests, I think Johnny and I have spoken about, it's really, you know, obviously there are big guests, and I think with what we did with the Global previously, there were some really star-studded names. Jess Ennis, Harry from The Traitors, real mainstream, but I also think Jonathan Ross.
Claire Balding. Who, actually, talking about Sports Personality, I told you, on the red carpet of Sports Personality, they came up to me and said, are you and Alex still doing the pod? Because you have to start it back up.
We have to.
So, big.
Got a surprise for you. No,
oh my goodness.
We've not
me.
Got her today. I think we need to play golf with Claire.
Yeah, we need to.
Because I think she'd actually enjoy that. I don't think, to get her to come and chat to us.
Yeah.
If we can do something, she might gain something
it
from.
It would be quite relaxed, wouldn't it?
And then she can maybe give us a few hints.
I think, you know, we've got an opportunity to tell the stories of people that otherwise wouldn't get a chance to, you know, you've got to remember, we're working together now, mm-hmm. which we've never had before.
No.
You know, we're working for the same organisation. And we've already met loads of people through our work that are really interested. I'm sure we'd love to get on the pod. So I think that's going to be a really exciting.
And I think there's an element about, kind of water in its purest form in terms of water safety. And obviously, I know you're passionate, I'm passionate, everyone here is passionate about encouraging people to swim, whether that be to learn to swim from being able to do a length, to be able to do four lengths, to push people towards potentially the elite end, if that's what they're showing. But also there's an element of just being safe in water.
Yeah.
There's no sport that can save your life like swimming can. So water safety and having topics like that where we get people in and discuss how important that is, especially as we moved into spring and summer when people are going to be near open bodies of water. I think that could be really beneficial.
No, sure. Absolutely. And, you know, don't want to say too much too soon, but hopefully I'll be doing a big swim in a big body of open water next year for charity as well, that we can cover as hopefully that comes to
big swim
fruition.
That's a little bit exclusive, I want to say.
That's a little bit of an exclusive. More to come. More to come.
The other thing, I quite like merch.
Oh my God.
Looking around the room, I think.
Yeah.
I think that could be an option.
Merch to
a t-shirt or two.
Well, we had stickers. I've still got one on my iPad. You've got one in your car keys. No, on your phone.
Yeah, on a case somewhere. There's plenty of stickers. If anyone wants stickers.
Old school. They're going to be rare. They're going to be like collector's items.
Yeah, I've sold a few.
Oh my goodness.
A few grand going around.
I haven't seen any of the profits from that.
Not yet. Maybe at some point. We also had a message from Luke, and he wants to know a little bit about the new Braywick training group that has been
slowly coming
has to, been growing.
Would that be Luke Withers by
Luke
any
Withers,
chance?
Possibly,
so that's a friend of ours,
yeah.
Luke. And so yeah, I mean, you and I have hopped in the pool a few times, haven't we? Along with Luke and our colleague Austin as well, just to do a few.
You've been ticking over.
I've been ticking over. I'd be lying if I said I haven't been
once
in the pool
a week.
Once a week for about 40 minutes. 20 minutes of that is chatting. But no,
10 minutes in the shower.
10 minutes in the shower and then 5 for flat white. So we've been doing a few laps here and there. Hear that rain coming down, can't you? That's the new Braywick training group. And that Braywick is the pool, for people who don't know, because we do want to make an emphasis of not saying too much stuff that is kind of an inside knowledge. But no, Braywick's the pool in Maidenhead, one of the pools we operate Tom Dean Swim School out of. We're Maidenhead Marlins based, and we've been hopping in there for the odd session, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think there'll also be potentially an element of doing it, maybe an episode a month where we talk a little bit more about the swim school specifically and kind of the community there and looking, diving into what is being done. So if maybe that will appeal, but it might not to everyone. But if people want to listen to that, that's something that everyone can dive into as well. So lots of really exciting stuff ahead. I think next week we're going to go for Paris chat. Paris ponderings part one.
Wow.
That's what I'm thinking about. And we can break it down kind of pre-Paris, the village itself. And then obviously you had a number of races and then maybe reflections, but I think there's so much in there. We can do it over a couple of episodes.
Sounds like
And I don't think we need to rush that. So that's all good.
Don't forget to follow our Instagram page at The Weekly Freestyle.
And find us on YouTube for visual content, The Weekly Freestyle. Just to finish off, as we often do, the TWF section, The Weekly Freestyle, is kind of an opportunity to chat about anything.
Actually,
the little bit of phrasing I've got in here is the weekly freestyle, anything goes as long as your turns are legal.
There we go.
It's a nice little nod to the IM there.
There we go.
those swimmers amongst us will enjoy that one.
Live but and I die wanted, by those words.
I wanted to chat about the darts.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Luke Littler.
Yeah. Huge from him. Absolutely huge.
Do you not just think it's incredible that someone who is 17, yeah. I'm not even sure if he's 17 yet, has... He shot into fame last year, yeah. this time last year, and lost in the final. A lot of people were saying it was a fluke. There's no way yeah. he's going to be able to do that again. He's had an unreal year. Obviously, he was at Spotty with you. But then he's gone through again, and now yeah. he's world champion. That just seems incredible.
I think the thing is about him is more than... I don't know, darts is an interesting one because it's not like an aerobic sport where often it takes years and years to build up that base. I mean, look at like the Tour de France cyclists. They can't be 16 years old because they just haven't had years of aerobic training. It's purely skill, it's purely technical.
But he has been building that from...
But he's had to build that for years. So yeah. that's where it's slightly different. So what really stands out to me about him is his dealings of the pressure. Because not only is it the pressure from within, and you could see how much it meant to him when he won that world championship, but the external pressures that have been put on him as this wonder kid.
Yeah.
And it always interests me. You look at these, especially we get it with footballers a lot. I mean, look at like Lamine Yamal when he shot to fame, you know, the Euros.
Was he 16-year-old Spanish player?
Player
of the tournament?
Yeah, and then he went to, was he at Barcelona at the time? Did he go?
I think he may have been.
But, you know, look at...
Ryan's nodding.
Yeah, there we go. So, I mean, how do these young kids who have got so little experience in the world deal with that level of pressure? And, you know, to a much, much smaller extent, you know, when I was 21, you win the Olympics, all of a sudden you're kind of thrown, and that's swimming, that's a small, not very well-known sport that's not really in the public eye, but all of a sudden how do you deal with getting stopped when you go out and stuff like that? And you can only imagine what these kind of, like, wonder kids must be feeling. So what really amazes me about what he did is how he dealt with the pressure and how he kind of just turned up the following year. And what will be interesting to see is now, how does he deal with that success and will he kind of cement his legacy as one of the greats? But, you know, it's all pointing towards that, which is exciting.
But the crazy thing for darts players is that he could play for another...
Oh.
He could play for another 4 or 5 decades.
Which is mental.
And he could still win the world... If you think Phil Taylor...
Yeah.
But that... You've almost got to be able to sort of mentally channel that.
Well, look at Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
You know, he got to a point where he was like... He almost didn't... Not that he didn't care, but... You know, you've won everything there is to win. He's the greatest ever. And it's one of those sports where you can just keep going and going and going. So what really gets you going? You say legacy, but once if you've got a legacy that's not been beaten. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see where he goes from here. But, I mean, incredible. And also, how well... I mean, it's Barry Hearn is pretty sure who brought the darts into kind of mainstream. Not only how well he's done, but how exciting that sport is now as a sport that used to be kind of the reserves of, you know, blokes in the pub. I mean, I want to go to a darts and get dressed up.
This is what I was going to say, is you didn't manage to sort a table for that.
Unfortunately not.
Did no messages come your way?
No. Well, I know, horrible. Well, Starkey loves it. And, well, Crouchy
Chris
loves
Stark.
It. So I'm sure Starkey'd be there. So I reckon we get in touch with a friend of the pod, Chris Stark, and see what we can sort. But I think it's about time that the Weekly Freestyle goes to a darts event, gets dressed up, and does a full...
And this is actually topical, because one of your colleagues in British Swimming... proposed to his girlfriend
at a Leicester like third round Grand Prix.
She it's was impressive, like, isn't it?
They were joking about a proposal. She's like, well, go on then, do it. And he's like, well, all right, do you want to marry me? And she was like, and then he had to like borrow someone's ring, and then they did it again for the cameras. I mean, look, I'm sure she was chuffed. They're a great couple. If I was in the shoes, I probably wouldn't want my significant other proposing at that.
Yeah, maybe.
But fair play.
Maybe she's a big fan of
darts.
Stephen Bunting.
Maybe. Really gets her going. Yeah, so fair play. I mean, whatever floats your boat.
Indeed. So yeah, maybe we should book that in.
Maybe we should. Maybe not the proposal.
No, forget that.
But you never know where we'll be come 2028.
True. Lots of exciting things are going to be happening. And the best thing about this all is that Luke Littler's parents, so I know with your parents and your mum especially, you know, driving you and your siblings to the pool, Luke Littler's parents have literally taken him to the pub.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, he can't yet, can he? 17.
But to practice.
To practice. So, he's got a five and a bag coming his way. So
he has. Plus the winnings of the previous rounds as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So,
it's not too bad, is it? That's plenty of...
FIFA coins, I think.
FIFA coins, J2Os and kebabs.
But no, I think this has been a wonderful place to end the first episode.
Brilliant.
Thank you to Githam and our colleagues behind the camera for sorting this out. I can't wait for what's ahead, and maybe we should get a little bit of footage in this wonderful facility ahead of the launch.
We're going to do this race.
Yes, get it done.
We'll see it. Well, look, here's the next 3.5 years.